Hello and welcome to the Reuters World Cup 2010 podcast. Day 6 here, and by the end of today, we'll have seen all 32 teams in action, including Spain. Mike Collett, are you looking forward to seeing the Spanish?
I am, Kevin. I think they're going to be one of the teams to beat in this tournament, and I, for one, hope that they've raised the level somewhat of the football we've seen so far.
OK, raise the level. What actually has been the problem? Why have we seen a few of these slightly dour games, Paul Radford?
I don't know, one tends to think that people are being very cautious and looking for draw in the first round so they don't feel themselves in danger of elimination. And maybe they've been just too cautious. And teams just seem to be nullifying each other. We've only had really Germany and Argentina to some extent who really seem to have gone for the opposition so far.
That's right, and we were slightly disappointed by the way Brazil lined up last night. It wasn't really a surprise, though, was it? I mean, they don't have a reputation for playing the sort of total attacking flair football of sides of the past, do they?
They're a counter-attacking team. It's unlike Brazil used to be, but that's what they are now, and that's what they're best at, and it really wasn't working against the North Koreans in the first half yesterday.
Well, let's not forget they had Kaká and Robinho playing for them yesterday. I think it was a fantastic performance by the North Koreans, it really was. Cheered on by the little band of official supporters there in the stadium.
What was quite interesting about Brazil yesterday is that even, you know, when they were clearly not breaking through, they weren't in a hurry, they weren't bothered by it. You know, Dunga's obviously not kind of... He's instilled this idea that they don't have to push things too hard, they will get there in the end. That was quite interesting. They didn't force the game, you know?
They don't have quite that urgency, do they, that we associate with really good attacking teams. But will it be enough? From what we saw last night, does anyone expect Brazil to win a sixth World Cup?
Yeah, I think that they could. I think there's a very interesting point here about the first stage of the World Cup. It reminds me, and it's obviously, it's like the Champions League in a sense. It's a league competition leading into a knockout competition, and teams are being very cautious and often are in the first stages of the Champions League too, you know. World Cup does have that kind of feel in the early stages quite often.
And you shouldn't judge, you know, teams just on their first game. You know, teams develop during tournaments. We often see that. You start badly and you can get better. We've seen that. Italy won it like that. You know, other teams have done the same.
Now, one of the curiosities of this World Cup so far is that the big name players, the sort of global icons of the game, haven't provided any goals so far. We might be surprised this afternoon. We might have Torres, perhaps, if he plays, or Villa. But a little bit disappointing from these poster boys of world football.
I think that the closest we've had to a goal from any of them was Ronaldo's shot yesterday, which would have been, you know, a fantastic, memorable World Cup goal. Is it because the midfielders are attacking more? Is it because the nature of the games on this counter-attacking element is coming in? That could be a case, but it is surprising that none of the big names have scored yet.
I think it's a question of nobody scoring. But, you know, they've been complaining about the ball. Is there anything in that, Mike, do you think?
What I think's very unusual is this. We've had World Cups at altitude before in 1970 and 86, noticeably in Mexico. And obviously they were using a different ball, different technology. But the ball never rose with the accelerated kind of lift in either of those World Cups that it has here, Paul. I mean, it's surprising the way that ball just careens off into space.
And that might be why, you know, Lionel Messi looked pretty hot the other night but didn't quite score, and the things were just going away from him. It might be something to do with the ball. People are certainly talking about that.
Ronaldo's been practising though, hasn't he? I mean, that was an absolutely fantastic shot, and he managed to keep it down, so maybe he's sort of showed the way to go with the ball there.
I read an interesting thing this morning, that the Germans did not have to have a Nike ball, for example, during the Bundesliga last season. They could play with whatever ball they wanted, and apparently they played with a very similar ball to the Jubilani ball. It's interesting that the best performance so far has been the Germans. Whether that's coincidence or not, we can't tell. But FIFA were asked this morning at the briefing, the daily news briefing, whether there was going to be any debate about the ball formally among the technical committee, and they said, no way, nothing like that is planned for the foreseeable future, at least.
One interesting point that, you know, I've seen on the star players not scoring goals element is that in the Champions League, when we watch these teams play, players like Torres, etc., are kind of spoiled. I mean, they're surrounded by a wealth of riches in their own teams, but the supply doesn't seem to be there for some of these national sides. I mean, we saw Slovakia play the other day. Hamzik is a player I've seen playing in the Italian league for Napoli. He's on the end of everything, attacking, but he was sort of withdrawn, didn't have any supply, and he's not going to get on the end of it. So I think we need to temper our expectations a little bit. We're used to seeing these top players playing in top sides, whereas some of the supply in the national teams might not be to the same level, you know?
Well, I'm not sure you could say that about Torres, though, because I think the Spanish team that he'll be surrounded with are somewhat stronger than probably at club level with Liverpool.
But okay. The likes of Rooney, I mean, you know, the supply that was coming to him from the wingers wasn't anything like he gets at Man United, you know?
No, OK, so no excuses for Torres or Villa, perhaps, if they don't score today. So we shall look for Paul Radford to come in tomorrow if they don't score, blaming them with a thunderous wrath of the sports editor. OK, talking about the ball, it's been bad for the forwards, perhaps. It's also been pretty bad for the goalkeepers. We've seen a number of howlers at this World Cup. Now, I don't want to retread over the first week too much, but yesterday, that wonderful goal from Maicon for Brazil, was that actually more of a goalkeeping error as much as a great shot?
Did he mean it?
I think he meant it was absolutely fantastic. He's one of the most, if not the pinnacle of individual skill so far we've seen, the way he and it reminded me of the goal that Pelé laid on for Carlos Alberto in the 1970 World Cup final. Had echoes, similar ball played out, player overlapping, absolutely whacked it in with his right foot into the corner. Different goal, goalkeeper was at the near post. I think it was a combination of the goalkeeper's mistake and some absolutely brilliant individual skill.
The way he looked up as if to cross, you know, he kind of looked up, see who's in the box, the keeper just read that 100% bang in.
The swerve on it was absolutely fantastic, wasn't it? But shame for the Koreans, because I think if they'd held out there, then, you know, we could have had an absolutely amazing end to that game.
The Koreans, you know, did themselves justice, didn't they? I mean, they played so well, they defended well, they passed it well. I thought they were. You know.
I think if I was Ivory Coast or Portugal, I'd worry that actually the second spot in that, I think we can accept Brazil are probably going to win that group. The second spot could actually be North Korea.
Okay, excellent. One final feature on the podcast today, where Owen Wyatt has been with us, as you've heard. Owen, you're introducing the shop window feature. I'm going to imagine that Owen Wyatt is a talent scout out there for your big European club. Anyone you've seen out there that you'd sign immediately?
Yeah, if I was one of the top teams in Europe, I'd be looking at Elia, the Dutch winger who came on in the second half of Holland versus Denmark.
Did kind of jazz up that performance quite a lot, didn't he?
Absolutely. He lifted the game completely. He left his defender for dead on a couple of occasions. So he's been injured for most of the season with Hamburg. Liverpool were having a look at him, reportedly, in January. I think that Van Marwijk was probably hoping to keep him up his sleeve a little bit to kind of gradually introduce him to the tournament, because that is really one to watch. Great place, great turn. He set up the goal for Kaut with his shot off the post. He looks like a real talent. One of these younger players who seems unfazed by the sense of occasion. He just got on with it and did what he does. It was fantastic to watch.
Okay, and just before we sign off, I want you to picture the scene. Owen White is here actually wearing one of those little orange mini dresses that caused all the furore afterwards. Quite a sight to behold. Anyway, thanks very much indeed to Paul Radford, Andy Cawthorn, Oisin Shine, Mike Collett, and Owen White. We'll be back here tomorrow and every day at this wonderful African World Cup.